is a privilege to lead off these revival meetings. And one nice thing about it is that I can be finished and I can enjoy the rest of the revival meeting. Amen. I mean, not that I don't enjoy preaching and sharing the Word of God, but it is a little nerve-wracking to me because I come up here and I am so tempted to, you know, preach to certain people, you know. Jim sitting over here. There are some things I'd like to say to him. Doug and Bruce back there, you know. I just don't, I'm tempted. And but it's good to be here tonight. And I am honored to be able to preach here tonight. And I want to read some verses here. I'm going to go to Isaiah, and you can follow along. This is not my text, but I just want to say a few things here. In Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, and before we go any further, let me pray. Lord, I do pray to be with us. Touch my heart, touch my lips, Lord, my thoughts, Lord. It is an honor, Lord, and it is an awesome responsibility, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you touch the hearts of these folks, and Lord, may this few moments that we have here together as we look into the Word of God to be a blessing to the people of Bible Baptist Church, and to look back of 30 years of sharing the gospel, of instructing the believers, Lord, and going forward with the Great Commission. I pray to bless the reading of your word. Bless these thoughts that we have this evening. Touch our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all the mourn. Now in Luke chapter number 4, Jesus read this portion of Scripture also, and I want to turn there. But he did leave something out, and I want to read this little portion of Scripture. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. I don't know if I said Mark, I meant Luke. Luke chapter 4, and we want to look at verse number 16. We're going to start there in verse number 16 and go down to verse 21. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered on him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. I want you to notice that the Lord left out the vengeance in this portion of Scripture, because the vengeance was not to come yet, but this portion of Scripture is a blessing to my heart. I mean, it is said that Billy Sunday read this verse, or quoted it. He preached many times. He quoted Isaiah 61:1 every time he preached. And I would hope the Spirit of the Lord would be upon us as we preach, and the preachers as they preach. But it was speaking specifically of Jesus Christ. Jesus instructed his disciples in Acts chapter 1. I want to go there also. Now some of these verses, I just want to read them into your hearing. This is not my text, but I want to talk to you about the church today. I want to talk to you about 30 years of sharing the gospel, of preaching the gospel, of pushing out the Great Commission. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse number 4, and towards the end of it, he said, "But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfast toward heaven, he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This is the last thing that the Lord said upon this earth to his disciples. His disciples leave here and go back to Jerusalem and wait. And this is when the church is going to be empowered. I don't believe that this is when the church started, but it was when it was empowered. And I want to look at this evening. Our Lord left us with a promise in Matthew 16 that the gates of hell should not prevail against His church. Remember there, He called the disciples together and said, Who do men say that I am? And some say that He was John the Baptist, and some say that He was Isaiah, I believe, or Esaias, or Jeremiah. And He said, But who do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And He said, Upon this rock I will build my church. Tonight I want to look at a few things about the church. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 13. And I take this portion of Scripture. 16 years ago, I was preparing a message at Central Baptist Church in Fillmore, Utah. And I was looking for a portion of Scripture that would impart to the folks there what it was like to be 30 years. At that time, I was August 2005, I believe it is, was going to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary. And I wanted something special to preach that day, and I found this portion of Scripture. I looked, Brother Braden, Pastor Braden, for the gem of 30 years. And guess what it was? I want you to read this with me, or just follow along. Verse number 45 of chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking a goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I found out that the pearl was the 30th anniversary gemstone. Now, I don't know when those were decided, and I don't know who decided that, but that is customary today, that the pearl is a 30-year gemstone. It is an unusual gemstone because it's not like a diamond or a ruby or topaz or anything like that, but is from a living organism. And I find it interesting that the Lord used the pearl, and I believe that this portion of Scripture is talking about His church. He's giving these parables. I believe that the previous verse, verse 44, he's talking about his children, the Jews. And I believe that in verse 45 and verse 46, he's talking about his church. I believe that's the interpretation of this Scripture. So I want to use the pearl as a picture of the church. Yesterday, I was privileged to preach at Senior Saints, and I talked about a snake. I think a pearl is a little bit better analogy here for the church. Now, we might have some snakes in the church. Not really. But we do have some pearls in the church. Amen. And I want to look just for a few moments on this pearl. And there's some interesting things about the pearl. And the pearl of great price is a representation of the church. Jesus gave all he had to purchase her. I want you to look at it. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I'd like to read just a little bit here of what happened many years ago. And I want you to know that Jesus knew what he was talking about. And our Lord left us with this promise. And tonight, this is the Lord's church, precious as a pearl. The pearl, in 60 B.C., Cleopatra, it is said, and as from what I read from history, said, I'm going to hold a feast that is worth a fortune. And she took a pearl, and she goaded Mark Antony, at that time, to come and see if he could equal what she was going to do. She took a pearl and crushed it up, put it in a drink, and drank it down. And at that time, pearls, and this one singular pearl, was probably worth, in today's dollars, $28 million. At that time, they were so rare. In 30 A.D., Roman General Vitellius financed an entire military campaign by selling just one of his mother's pearl earrings. Jesus, this is right at the time Jesus was alive. Amen? 30 A.D. 60 B.C. was before his time, of course. But the pearl was worth so much. So when Jesus used the pearl, he was telling those folks, and they all knew the worth of a pearl. When he said that this pearl was of great price, they knew what he was talking about. Today, natural pearls, though rare, are not as valuable. And we'll see why in a little bit. But I want to take this, and I have five things to say here, and I'll be done tonight. I didn't alliterate it. I try to at times, but the natural pearl. We're talking about the natural pearl. There are basically two types of pearls. There's a natural, which comes from the oyster, comes from, some call it the mollusk, and then there's the fake. We're not going to talk about the fake today, because fake is just a bead. But the natural pearl is real. The natural, number one, is provided by God. To have a lasting church, we need Christ in our lives. We need people who are born again. You know, as a matter of fact, Jesus, and the reason I chose this portion of Scripture, Jesus likened the church to his wife. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, the Bible says. So there is a comparison between the church and marriage. Salvation comes from just a simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Amen. So what happens in our lives is salvation to be part of that gem that God wants, His church. You cannot be a member of the church. You can join, and you might appear to be a member, but you're not truly a member if you're not saved. Amen. If you not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, for by grace are you saved through faith, the Bible says. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. We must be born again. There is also the aspect of being natural, being born of God, you become separated by God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. We think that, well, I'm a pretty good person. I try to keep the Ten Commandments. I try to do right. I try to please right. I remember shortly after starting our church there, in Fillmore, Utah, that I knocked on doors and knocked on a lady's door and said, do you know if you were to die today, you'd be with the Lord? And she said, well, I'm just as good as the neighbor. I'm just as good as someone else. I'm pretty good. And come to find out, she was a Sunday school teacher at the Southern Baptist Church that was there. And I thought, what a shame we've got a Sunday school teacher who thinks maybe that she's okay just because she's not worse than somebody else. We need separation. We need to serve the Lord. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. We need natural pearls in our churches, not contrived, not phonies. So this precious pearl that God is talking about, this 30-year anniversary of Bible Baptist Church, I would hope that we are full of natural pearls, of pearls that are grown from the grace of God. Not only is the natural born by God, but the natural involves trials. Do you know what they take? The very reason for the pearl, and I probably many of you know this, is that there's an irritant that gets inside the oyster, and that oyster starts producing a substance, and they start to coat that irritant and keep coating that irritant until it's acceptable, where it's a palatable, if you will, if it's not going to irritate the pearl. But sometimes pearls go through trials, amen? Sometimes churches go through trials. I've not been here for the 30 years. I've been here 3, as the pastor said, out of the 30 years, I've been here 3 years. And there's things that I have no idea what's going on. But I know of other churches. And I know of the trials that happen in other churches. And I know of the trials in our own church in Fillmore, and then the church before that, and all the trials that go on. It takes trials. It takes hard times sometimes for the church to grow and grow well. God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 3 and verse... Let me turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 3 through 10. We find also God talking about these relationships that we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse number 3. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry of God be blamed, be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. This was Paul talking about his ministry. This is Paul talking about how we as Christians ought to endure the trials and the temptations of life. And there's always the up and there's the down. And in producing of the pearl, we go through these trials. And in the oyster, and it's just an example that the Lord... I find it amazing that God, that Jesus Christ could look down through time. Because there's something about this pearl that folks in that time did not know. The natural is never perfect. Number three, the natural is never perfect. Some may say that my church has flaws. Well, join the club. Amen. All churches have flaws. Now, I know in the end, and we're going to get there, someone said if you find a perfect church, don't join, because once you do, it won't be perfect anymore. Reminds me of the man that was shipwrecked on an island. And he was there for many years, and finally he was rescued. And the rescuers came and they noticed there was three huts sitting there. And they said to the man, are there other people? He said, oh no, I'm the only one here on this island. He said, well, what are these three huts? He says, well, that hut is my house. That's where I live. He says, and that hut is my church. That's the church you go to. And they said, what's the other hut? He said, well, that's the church I used to go to. So we always have folks that move from church to church, right? They're always looking for something better. They're always thinking that, well, you know, I don't like what's going on. But folks, listen, it's never perfect. The pearl, you take a pearl, a real pearl, and you feel it, there'll be lumps and there'll be a different shape because there's just no way of knowing how that thing is going to be produced. There are different situations, there are different conditions. There's water temperature, there's depth, and there's the type of water. You have all sorts of different colors of pearls. You have all sorts of different types of people who are in the church, amen? You have all sorts of different backgrounds and different nationalities and different races, if you will. But the natural is never perfect. And as God was comparing, the Lord was comparing the church to a pearl, this precious gem, the natural takes care. In the realm of a natural pearl, we have what is called a cultured pearl. And I think many of you have heard of that. They know what a cultured pearl is. It's a real pearl in every way. But do you know what happens? Man gets involved. Man gets involved and cuts a little slit in the membrane of that pearl and will take a little piece of another pearl. They call it the inside of that the oyster. It's called mother of pearl. Now you're going to get a lesson on pearls here tonight. And they take a little piece of that cut mother of pearl and they insert it in there. And then they close it up and they put it in the ocean. They put it in a pearl farm, if you will. And there it is grown, it's taken care of, it's watched over. It's lifted sometimes and cleaned and checked for imperfections, diseases, and it's returned, and they put it in the sea, and then it's harvested. Folks, it reminds me, you know, I think of this, like I said, I think it's amazing that the Lord used the pearl. Do you think He knew that someday that there would be a cultured pearl? Someone that would take and plant it. I think it's a good picture of the church. You know, God uses man. Amen? God has used man since Adam and Moses, Noah, Abraham. And you go down through time. You get into the New Testament. You see the disciples. When Jesus was standing there in Caesarea Philippi, and He's saying, upon this rock I will build my church. He had His very own disciples that were standing there who were going to be the builders of that church. They weren't the rock. They weren't the cornerstone. I understand that. But they were going to be the ones that built that church. And were there sinners in there? Of course. Just shortly after that the Lord said this, just shortly after He said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it, Peter was berating the Lord, saying, no, Lord, You're not going to go and You're not going to be crucified and You're not going to leave us. And Jesus turned around and said, get thee hence, Satan. Amen? That's what happened. God uses imperfect man. I thank God for the men in my life, the pastors in my life. I remember a young man saying he got away from the Lord and he said, you know, I don't need to listen to some man standing up there and telling me how to live my life. You know what, folks? Yes, you do. You need someone to guide. God has called man. God has called men to start churches. And as the pastor mentioned this evening, that 30 years ago, a few folks met together. And He started to preach to them. And down through time, folks have been saved and folks have been baptized and the church has grown and kept growing. But the natural takes care. Someone has to watch out for it. And I know the Lord is protecting it. And the fifth thing I want to say tonight is the natural takes time. You won't get a pearl without time to grow, to keep to itself, to leave where it's at, to be taken care of, to care for, to mature. It is said that there's 10% of all cultured pearls are marketable. 10% are taken and said, oh, this is what we're going to sell. And that's why when I mentioned earlier in the introduction that the pearl was so valuable, $28 million one was worth in today's dollars. But there's a lot of cultured pearls out there today. A lot of pearls. They are real in every aspect as one that is natural. The naturals are harder to find. If someone just finds an oyster and opens it up and there's a pearl in it, that is rare that it happens. But there are so many pearl farmers today. Matthew 7 and verse 14 says, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." How many people could I say have come into church and have said, "Oh, I want to join the church. I want to be a part of this group," and they're there for a while and they're gone. Wasn't it that long ago we had a missionary that came through and he said there were hundreds of churches closing their door every week in the United States alone. It takes time. We have gone through hard times because there is no desire to work at a committed church relationship. That's what happens. People come to church and they want to just sit back and they want to say, okay, bless me, I'm here. I want to come on Sunday morning and then I'll go and live the rest of my life and then I'll come back. Obviously, I'm not preaching to you because you're here tonight. Amen. But we need to understand that this is going on, and this pearl, I think it's a wonderful story. I think it's a wonderful illustration that God gave this pearl, this gem, this church. Let me ask you tonight, are you a natural today? Have you been born again by the grace of God? Do you consider God's church to be of great worth? You know, Jesus died for the church. Amen? You cannot serve the Lord properly without a church, I believe. You can't, you know what their folks say, and I've heard preachers say it before, they say, well, I can worship God out in the woods. I can worship God out on the golf course. I can worship God out fishing. You don't do that. I don't worship God when I'm out golfing. I'm trying to get the best score that I can. And I'm having a hard time keeping my testimony. You know, I thank the Lord for the privilege to preach tonight. I thank the Lord. Earlier we looked at the fact that pearls, the natural, are never perfect. The church is made up of imperfect individuals. The pearl, this parable that Jesus gave in the natural world, is made up of individual interlocking calcium carbonate. That's what the pearl is. It's individual little crystals all hooked together. Yet it's a beautiful gem. The Lord's church made up of born-again believers who will someday be presented perfect without spot or blemish. Amen? It takes individuals to make up His church. Individuals to make a beautiful gem. When we see this, the building Pastor was talking about earlier is not the church, but saved sinners working together to bring glory and honor to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And for 30 years, Bible Baptist Church has been proclaiming the Word of God. And I say, thank the Lord. I say, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And that you folks here are part of this pearl, this gem that should shine brightly to the world around us. Are you saved tonight? Are you a part of the pearl? Are you saved? Are you a member of the church? Are you giving your all, trying to get other folks into this body of believers? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let's have a word of prayer tonight.